hello again. This is Bud Carey and it's Old Radio Theater, dispensing this week with our usual organ theme, The Doll Dance, sort of to give you a preview of what the first program for today is going to be. If you didn't have a chance to listen last week, and I'm sure a lot of you didn't because it wasn't New Year's Day, I announced that we would be doing The Great Radio Comedians for the full month. My rationale for that is because after the holidays, it's a big letdown, really. Then we have to face tax time, etc., and a few other things. So we thought we'd keep it light for the entire month. For our first program, we're going to Burns and Allen. Their theme, Love Nest, being played in the background, was associated with that program for almost 20 years. The program we're going to today is one from November 8, 1945, and it features as their guest George Jessel. He was on with us last week with Fred Allen. He made appearances on virtually all of the comedy shows. A lot of these people were all very close personal friends as well as colleagues. And for part two, we're going to pay an extraordinary visit to Jack Benny, but I'll talk about that later. This is Bud Carey. It's Old Radio Theater. And with a little frog in my throat, I hope you'll stay with us.
George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Last week, in order to get the part of a husband in a picture, I invited a movie producer to the Burns home and pretended to be Gracie's husband. Together, we convinced the producer that I was a dull, uninteresting married man. Sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? Well, if you think that's unbelievable, we also convinced him that George was an irresistible lady killer. So he forgot me and hired George to play a wolf. This news has just been released, and so for further details, we take you to the NBC newsroom.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dick Joy reporting your last-minute news. Flash. Movie producer Lauren Sherwood dropped a bombshell on Hollywood tonight when he announced that the most coveted screen role of the year, that of the wolf in the new Betty Grable picture, would go to a sensational new screen lover, George Burns. Friends of Sherwood had expected him to cast Bill Goodwin in the role of the wolf who chases Miss Grable, a part which Goodwin has rehearsed for years. All Hollywood is talking, says Luella Parsons.
In my humble opinion, a picture starring George Burns should have everything it'll need it.
Says movie producer Georgie Jessel.
Many new ideas have come out of the war. Casting George Burns as a wolf is a Revolutionary War idea. By that I mean it would have been a great idea during the Revolutionary War.
When told that her new leading man would be George Burns, Betty Grable had this to say.
Darling, did you hear the news on the radio? Sherwood has just announced that he's co-starring you with Betty Grable.
Really? He must be out of his mind. I'm no movie star.
But you can be, dear. You're loaded with sex appeal.
Oh, don't be silly. Let him get some guy like Gregory Peck.
Oh, pooh. How can you compare a Peck to a man who has it by the bushel?
Oh, forget it. I'm not for pictures.
George, have you ever studied yourself in the mirror and seen how really handsome you are? That straight nose, that square jaw, those perfectly formed chins.
Yes, I'm gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean it. You've got everything any leading man on the screen has. I'll prove it to you. Just name one.
All right. Charles Boyer.
Charles Boyer. What's he got?
What's he got? How about those eyes?
You've got just as many.
It's not how many. It's what he can do with them.
Well, there he's not even in the same class with you. One look from your deep, smoldering pools of passion would make a woman forget her husband. Look at me.
I'm looking.
Come closer, Fred.
Fred?
Yeah, oh. Now, you see, you made me forget my husband.
Gracie, look, granted I might have a certain amount of charm, but could I handle the acting part of a picture role?
I knew you were going to say that, and I'm ready for you.
What do you mean?
Well, I have a little scene here that I wrote just for you. You run the entire gamut of emotions in it.
Oh, Gracie, I'm...
Oh, what's the matter? You afraid to find out how good you are?
Well, all right. Give me my part.
Here. Now, you play a soldier who has just come back from the war. You have a beard and a bandage around your head, and your eyes are all bloodshot. They look gorgeous in technicolor.
Yes, I can see it all now.
All right, I speak first. And give it everything you've got, George.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, my darling, you're home. Home at last. After all these months of waiting, hoping, praying, tell me, darling, quickly, are you all right? Are you all right?
Yes.
Oh, you've been shot. Yes, I can see it. You're wounded. Oh, my poor dearest, where did they get you? Where?
Here.
Nurse you back to health. You'll be well and sound again, my love. You shall have every care. I'll never leave your side for a minute. You'll never be alone again. Never, never.
Gee.
Seeing you again, it's so wonderful. Oh, darling, I'm afraid I'm going to cry. No, I mustn't cry. Laugh. That's what I should do. Laugh. See, George, you're dynamite.
That settles it. I'm going to call the producer right now and tell him to forget it.
Oh, but George.
Oh, I'm not for that.
Come in.
Well, there you are, you little double-crossing picture stealer.
Bill, I
Why,
don't...
if you try to be Grable's leading man, they'll laugh you off the screen.
What do you mean? Wait till they see that physique and hear that voice. Why, George is a combination of Johnny Weissmuller and Frank Sinatra.
Well, you're right. He sings like Weissmuller and he's built like Sinatra.
Bill, I don't want
to think that you beat me out of a picture. You know, this ruins my career. I might as well throw myself in the ocean.
Oh, Bill, you wouldn't do that.
Yes, I will. And tomorrow they'll find me washed up on the beach. Me and a dead mackerel side by side. The only two things in the world that have less sex appeal than George Burns.
Bill, I've been trying to tell you, you can have the part. I'm going to call Sherwood and resign.
What?
Sure, you're the man for the part. You're so talented, so handsome, so charming. What am I?
You're so right.
Grable deserves me.
And let's face it, who can love Bill Goodwin better than Betty Grable?
Bill Goodwin.
See you later.
Hand me the phone, Grace. I'll call Sherwood and resign.
Oh, George, wait until tomorrow. I have the strangest feeling you'll change your mind. So, that's why I called you, Meredith. We've got to convince George that the public demands him.
Well, how can I help?
Well, by getting all the men in your orchestra to write George fan letters.
Well, I don't know about all of them.
Well, just ask those who know how to write.
Okay. That is, if a letter from my bass player will do any good.
Well, you write some, too. And all my girlfriends and I will write some.
Good.
And then I'll hire a couple of hundred bobby sockers to wait outside tomorrow and tear George's clothes off.
Oh, that'll make him... That'll sure make him a romantic figure.
Well, it will if I hide his long underwear tonight. Now, let's get busy, Meredith.
Mrs. Burns.
Oh, hello, Mr. Postman.
I have a tremendous amount of mail for your husband this morning.
Oh, I know. I know. I wrote most of it. I hope it wasn't too heavy for you to carry.
Oh, no. My muscles laugh at heavy weight. They call me the W.C. Fields of the post office.
They do?
Yes. I can carry such a tremendous load. But why should you write to your husband? Aren't you two on speaking terms?
Oh, yes. But I'm trying to make George a big picture star. And I want him to think these letters are from fan clubs. Say, maybe your wife could organize one.
My wife?
Well, yes, she's quite a club woman, isn't she?
No, she uses her bare hands. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Oh, George! George! Look at these letters.
What are they?
Oh, they're fan letters, darling. Letters from adoring women all clamoring to see you on the screen.
Oh, go on.
Well, now here, look, I'll read one. Now, listen to this. My dearest, darling dream boy, when I heard that you were coming to the screen, I kicked my husband out of the house, and now I keep your picture beneath my pillow.
Well, maybe she just wanted to get rid of her husband.
It's signed Mrs. Walter Pigeon.
Well, I'll be darned.
Oh, now look, here's another one. Dear Super Wolf.
Super Wolf?
Yes. You're our joy boy. You great big gorgeous hunk of oomph. And from now on, we will see only your pictures. Signed, George Burns Fan Club, formerly Van Johnson Fan Club.
Holy smoke. No one could be this big a success overnight.
Well, you're not an overnight success. You forget that for years, millions of people have listened to you on the radio.
That's right.
Are eagles hatched overnight? No. First, eggs must be laid. Today you're hatching the eggs you laid on the radio.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Gracie. I'll go over to the studio and talk this thing over with Shirley.
Oh, good. Here's your coat. Now be careful and don't let the bobby sockers mob you.
Oh, don't be silly. If this were 20 years ago, maybe. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Holy smoke. They're here. Hundreds of them.
Uh-huh. What did I tell you?
But I can't understand it. If this were 10 years ago, maybe. I'll look again. Gee, if this were a couple of years ago, maybe.
You better go out there before they tear the house down.
Okay. What the heck? Maybe they like men in their late 20s. Okay, girls. Come and get them.
This is Dick Joy from the NBC newsroom again, ladies and gentlemen. Police riot squads were rushed to the home of George Burns a few moments ago when hundreds of berserk bobby sockers fought each other for a glimpse of their latest idol. Questioned as to the secret of his amazing new power over women, Burns refused to comment. But federal authorities are investigating the possibility that he's been able to harness atomic energy in vitamin form. Skeptics are now getting on the bandwagon, says Luella Parsons.
More power to you, George Burns.
Says Georgie Jessel.
Producer Sherwood says he's going to play up George Burns' talent in this picture. Well, that's different. Why didn't he say he was going to use Gracie?
Her curiosity aroused by this wave of popularity, Betty Grable asked to have another look at Burns. Said Miss Grable.
Teamwork. George has been rehearsing with Betty Grable all afternoon.
Certainly sounds like he's arrived.
Oh, yes. But there's one thing that worries me.
What?
After a love scene with George Burns, will Grable be content to go home to Harry Jane?
That's the point.
George is probably the only man living who can outkiss a trumpet player.
Those trumpet players are sure something, all right. One of them tried to kiss me once.
You married him?
Yeah. She was with Phil Stokowny.
Oh,
I say she was with Phil Spitalny. Now, let me see. Her
George.
Name...
George!
No, I think her name was Agnes.
No, I see George coming up the walk. Oh, I can't wait to take him in my arms. My big, handsome movie star.
I'll just slip out the back way.
Darling, here's a kiss.
Please, dear. You'll smear my makeup.
But, George, I'm so happy to see you.
Must we have a display of emotions? I've just come from the set, and really, I'm all kissed out.
Oh, sit down and rest, George. I'll have dinner ready in a jiffy.
Sorry, dear. I'm dining with Lana Turner.
Oh, well, will I see you after dinner?
No, the publicity department has arranged a full evening. I'm attending a concert with Deanna Durbin. Dancing at the truck with Rita Hayworth. A cigarette at Ciro's with Lauren Bacall. Then a little smorgasbord with Ingrid Bergman.
Won't I see you at all?
Well, if you care to peek in at the Brown Derby around midnight, you may watch me stir my coffee.
Oh, will you stir it? I thought you'd have Esther Williams swim around it.
Please, dear, don't be the troll. Entree.
Well, George, did you go to the studio and resign?
Resign? Me? And let the whole motion picture industry crash?
What's with him?
Oh, I'm afraid he's gone Hollywood on a spill.
What is it you wish, lad? My autograph?
Autograph? George, it's me, Bill.
Oh, George, stop being ridiculous. We're your friends. You don't have to high-hat us.
Well, if I'm not appreciated around here, you may send my bags to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
If we do that, what'll hold up your eyes?
Oh, you big player.
Oh, Bill. Bill, what am I going to do? I've lost him. My home is collapsing. Oh, Bill, you've got to bring him back to his senses.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's beyond my help, Gracie. From now on, George won't listen to anyone who isn't a big shot in pictures.
Yeah. Say, that's an idea. I know just the man. Georgie Jessel. He's not only a big picture producer, but he's an old friend of George's. He wouldn't want to see us break up. He's been a family man himself. So often.
Well, Gracie, you better hurry over to 20th Century Fox and see him.
Oh, hello, dear.
Good evening, Grace.
George. Look to who I brought home with me.
Yeah. Hiya, George, old kid. Gosh, it's great seeing you again, palsy.
Have we met before?
Not met before. This is Jessel, Georgie Jessel. We grew up together in New York.
New York? Oh, yes. A settlement on the East Coast.
Yes, a small village with a few cows and 7 million people. You know darn well who I am.
Wait now. I do have a vague recollection. Weren't you connected with the theater? An usher, perhaps?
Now, look, George, we worked in vaudeville together.
Indeed. And to think that I, a great star of the cinema, was once a mere vaudevillian.
And believe me, there was nobody mirror. Tracy, will you tell him who I am?
Oh, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How could you forget the man who used to get down on one knee and sing Mammy?
Joyful, Gracie, I'm joyful.
Oh, that's right. Well, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How can you forget the man who used to puff his eyes out and sing, If You Knew Susie?
Canter, Eddie Canter.
Oh, that's right. Well, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How could you forget the man who... Georgie, what did you do?
I was a big, fat, blonde woman, and I sang Some of These Days.
Well, this has all been very interesting, Mr. Hessel.
Hessel? Jessel, J. J, as in what? You're the biggest one I've ever seen.
Genius is spelled with a G, Mr. Pesco.
Oh, go away from me, Pesco.
Well, I should be off to the studio. I'll go inside and put on my spats and green beret. Cha-cha.
Cha-cha. Huh? He certainly has blown his top, hasn't he?
Yeah, isn't it awful pretending not to remember anything about Broadville? Well, that's the biggest thing in his whole life.
Well, of course it was. Wait a minute. Say, that gives me an idea, Gracie. Once a vaudeville trooper, always a vaudeville trooper. Now, you just take your cue from me.
Yeah, but what are you going
to... And, Gracie, as I was telling you, we'll be the biggest thing that vaudeville ever had. Here's the billing. Jessel and Allen. That's what we'll call the act. Now, we open at one, you see? Right away, you come out to hit you with a baby spot.
Jessel and Allen? What's this?
Oh, you wouldn't be interested. Ta-ta. Go to the studio. Now, look. As I was saying, Gracie, to hit you with a baby spot. Now, the orchestra...
Wait a minute. Are you planning a vaudeville act?
That's right, yes.
Well, you see, you'll be busy at the studio, dear, and I have to have something to occupy my time.
Yeah, but I had to...
Come on, Gracie. Now, look, I'll sit down at the piano and we'll try out the opening.
Okay, I'm ready.
One bright and guiding light that taught me wrong from right I found in my mother's eyes. Say, Gracie, speaking of mothers, a funny thing happened to my mother in Cleveland.
Oh, really? I thought you were born in Buffalo.
Look, I got a better joke in that spot.
Now, wait, Papa. What do you picture actors know about vaudeville? You take it, Gracie. Go ahead.
Those baby tales she told, that road all paved with gold, I found in my mother's eyes.
You're going to open with that thing?
Yeah, why not?
Well, you ought to open with something peppy, like bum 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 down in the garden where the red rose grows.
Oh, wait, please.
Bum 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 bum. Oh, the
fire. Hey, Papa, get out of here, will you please? You are annoying the honest. Okay. Just like a wandering sparrow, one lonely soul. Oh, make a movie.
Gee, I just thought I'd help.
I'd walk the straight and narrow to reach my goal. Come on, Gracie, let's take the finish together.
God gifts sent from above, a real unselfish love, I found in my mother's arms.
Oh, that'll be great. I'll tell you what we'll do for an encore. Look, for an encore.
Hello? Yeah, oh, just a minute. George, it's Betty Grable.
Oh, hello, Betty. Look, kid, don't bother me now with that picture. I haven't got time. Yeah, but Betty, you can get somebody almost as good. Get Flynn or Bogart. Goodbye. Now, look, I've got a great recitation for the encore. You two hum and I'll show you how it goes. When a man does a wrong, he goes right along and the world soon forgives and forgets. Let a girl do the same, and her head's bowed in shame, and her life is a life of regret.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Well, indeed, that was the Burns and Allen Show from November 8th, 1945. And a little bit of history behind that. It was an Armed Forces Radio Service broadcast, which always means that any product identification, all commercials are always cut. That was their policy. Burns and Allen were truly in vaudeville and made a great name for themselves in that manner. And had worked so hard one summer that they decided in 1930 they would go over to Europe and have a little bit of a vacation. They started out in England, and they weren't there 2 days when the BBC asked them to do a radio program for them. They did it, but Gracie was just absolutely terrified of all the electronic equipment. And Burns and Allen were really some of the pioneers in radio, because after that time, since Gracie was so terrified of the microphone and all of the electronic gadgetry, they insisted on a live audience, because they had always played to live audiences on stage. Give you a clue about what our next program is for this week in the new year. It's going to be Jack Benny, and of course that was his theme for many, many years, and they had a lot of fun with that. It's a little thing called Love and Bloom. This program goes back to April 24th, 1949. It's one of the later Jack Bennys, and it's just fantastic. Believe it or not, in this, his pride and joy had always been his Maxwell car. But on this particular program, he decides he's going to sell it. And that's the key to the program. You'll hear, again, one of the most wonderful men who ever had a thousand voices, Mr. Mel Blanc. Very often, for those of you younger listeners who didn't know or don't know, he would do the sound effects for Jack Benny's Maxwell car, starting and stopping and sputtering and coughing. And you'll hear him do part of that on this program. So, stay tuned now for the Jack Benny Show with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, and all the regulars.
Television is not only here, it's here to stay. And like other stars in radio, Jack Benny is preparing for the future. So now we take you out to Beverly Hills. At the moment, Jack is sleeping while Rochester is going about his morning chores.
Well, first I better clean up the living room. What a mess. Television sure has Mr. Benny worried. Every night he rehearses a different act. But he's certainly serious about it. Last night he even had a dancing teacher here. Imagine him trying to do that kind of a dance. Oh, well, I might as well pick up his clothes and let the air out of the balloon. Isn't that cute? He even put an ironing board up on two chairs and used it for a runway. Let's see, where will I put these balloons? Oh, hello, Polly.
A pretty girl is like a melody.
Oh, were you here last night when Mr. Benny was taking his dancing lesson? He'll be happy to hear that. Now, Polly, I'll get you some breakfast as soon as I straighten up the... Coming! Coming! Oh, good morning, Mr. Mailman.
Good morning, Rochester. Well, there was too much mail to put in the box, so I thought I'd bring it in. Here are the letters.
Thank you.
And here are Mr. Benny's magazines. Body Beautiful. Women's Home Companion. True Story. Lonely Hearts. And this book, The Manly Art of Self-Defense.
Say, I didn't know...
Oh, pardon me, that goes to Mike Romanoff. Well, I must be getting along.
Is that all the mail you have for Mr. Benny?
No, I'm still carrying that letter with postage due on it. But I guess there's no use going through that again.
No, I guess not. How long ago was that letter mailed?
I don't know. It was handed down to me by my father. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, I think I'll take this mail to Mr. Benny's room. It's time he got up anyway. Mr. Benny, it's 11 o'clock. Mr. Benny, wake up. Mr. Benny. Gypsy Rose.
A pretty girl.
Boss, boss, it's only me.
Oh, good morning, Rochester. What time is it?
It's 11 o'clock. I brought you the mail. Do you want to look at it?
Oh, yes, give it to me.
Aren't you going to put your glasses on?
I can't. I broke them last night when I fell off the runway. I mean the ironing board.
It's all right, boss. I know.
Well, Rochester, take the ironing board down and hide the balloon. I don't want anyone to know about my dancing. Now, let's see the mail. What's this one? Oh, it's from my violin teacher, Professor LeBlanc. Monsieur Benny, as you know, tomorrow I must give you a violin lesson. I will be there unless I catch pneumonia. Please excuse the writing, as it is dark here in the deep freeze. Open the next envelope, Rochester.
Yes, sir. Oh, here's a letter from Max Factor.
Max Factor, what does he say?
Dear Mr. Benny, this is the third letter we have sent you reminding you of your March payment is past due. Either pay it immediately or we'll snatch it off your head.
Let him snatch it. It's got moth holes all over it. Let's see. What's this? This is from the California Bank. It's another letter about that loan.
What are you going to do, boss?
I'm going to turn them down. That's funny. Here's one from the barber shop on the corner. Dear Mr. Benny, we are writing to all of our customers who got shaved here last Saturday. Are you missing an ear? P.S. If not called for in 30 days, we will add it to our collection. Is there anything else, Rochester?
Just a circular. You won't be interested in this.
What is it?
Yeah.
Automobile prices reduced. Buy a new car now and save money. Liberal allowances on trade-ins. You know, Rochester, maybe I ought to try and...
I'll get it.
Oh, say, Rochester, no matter who it is, don't mention anything about the new dance I've been working on.
I won't. Coming!
Hello, Rochester.
Hello, Miss Livingston. Come on in.
Mr. Benny home?
Yeah, he's getting dressed. He'll be down in a minute.
Well, then I'll wait. And don't let me interrupt you, Rochester. Go ahead and finish your ironing.
Ironing?
Yes, you've got the ironing board up, haven't you?
I wasn't using that. You see, Mr. Benny was... Uh-oh.
Mr. Benny was what?
Well, he was getting ready to wallpaper the living room.
Well, back home, I used to help my mother paper our house, and Mr. Benny is going at it the wrong way. It seems to me
Well, good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning, Jack. Rochester told me what you were doing with the ironing board.
Oh, he did, eh? Rochester, I told you not to say anything about what...
But, Jack, you should be glad he told me. I can show you a few tricks.
You... What do you know about it?
Well, I used to do it with my mother.
What?
Oh, Mama was wonderful. She used to work with a brush in each hand.
A brush in each hand? Didn't your father object?
No, if she didn't do it, he'd have to.
Mary, dollface, what are you talking about?
Wallpapering the house.
Oh, wallpapering. Oh, of course. Good boy, Rochester. I'm going to do that later, Mary, but right now I'm trying to make a big decision.
What big decision?
Well, I just received this circular from an automobile company, and I've been thinking maybe I ought to trade in my car and buy a new one.
Well, it's about time. What are you going to get, a Chandler or an Essex?
Oh, don't be funny. I'm going to get a real... I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Jackson. I'm calling from the country club. I thought maybe you'd come out and play some golf.
Well, I can't today. I'm going out and buy a new car.
Operator, you gave me the wrong number.
He did not. It's me. And I am going to buy a car.
Oh. What kind of a car are you going to get, Jackson?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking of getting a Cadillac.
Operator, why can't I get
You've
the
right... You've got the right number. I told you, it's me.
Oh.
He asked me if I wanted to play golf, and I told you I couldn't.
Well, look, Jackson, I'm running a picture at my house tonight. Would you like to come over and see it?
Gee, I'd love to, but I can't. You see, last night I broke my glasses.
Oh, how'd you break them?
I fell off the runway.
Operator, I wish you'd give me
the
right...
You got it! You got it! Phil, it's me, Gypsy. I mean, Jackson. Phil, I'm sorry. Phil, I'm sorry I can't play golf with you. Why don't you call Remley?
I called Remley. He's right here now.
Oh, Frankie's with you, eh?
Yeah, he's sitting over there at the table drinking a glass of milk.
Operator! Somebody else is...
Oh,
on.
No. It's me.
Oh. Well, what's this about Frankie drinking milk?
Doctor's orders. Drinking too much bourbon.
Oh.
That caused a shortage of calcium in his system.
Uh-huh.
So the doctor made him drink milk.
So Frankie could get more calcium?
Yeah, that'll make his teeth stronger.
Why does he want to strengthen his teeth?
So he can pull the corks out of the bourbon bottle.
What?
You can't gum them things, you know.
I know, I know. Anyway, I'm proud of Frankie drinking milk. Let me talk to him, will you, Phil?
Okay.
Hey, Frankie!
He can't hear a thing since he got a shave last Saturday.
Phil, do you mean that...
So long, Gypsy. We got 8 holes to play.
All right, goodbye, Phil. I can only play 18 holes, but I guess Phil isn't as strong as I am. Mary, Phil wants me to play golf with him, but I'm going out and look at some of those new cars. You want to go with me?
Oh, sure, Jack, but while you were on the phone, Don Wilson, the sportsman, came in. They're waiting for you in the library.
Oh. Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
Hiya, fellas. Well, Don, I know what you're here for, but make it quick, will you? Mary and I have to leave in a few minutes.
Okay. Now, Jack, we've got a wonderful arrangement of Mendelssohn's Spring Song. And as a surprise, we put in a special violin part for you.
Oh, Don, really, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, we can take it out.
Oh, no, I've got the violin right here, under my chin. Just give me the music.
Here you are.
Okay, now, all right, now just a second while I tune up here. 1 second, Don, I get it. Now, let's see, Mendelssohn's Spring Song. Oh, yes, I start it, don't I?
Yeah, Jack.
All right, here we go, fellas. Mendelssohn's Spring Song.
Gone.
Well, come on, Mary. Let's go downtown and look for a new car. Rochester, we're ready to go. Rochester, the traffic's pretty heavy. Take it easy, will you?
Jack, what kind of a car are you going to get?
I'm not sure, Mary. You know, all the new models look so nice, and they have so many novel features. Like the Nash, for instance. I mean, the way the seats make up into twin beds. Now, maybe that's what I'll get. What are you laughing at?
You'll have the only car in the country that takes in boarders.
I wasn't thinking of that, Mary. I just thought that maybe...
Hey, boss, how long have we been driving?
Exactly 14 minutes. You better start looking for a service station.
Yeah, no time to lose.
Jack, why do you have to hurry for a service station?
Well, you see, Mary, every time the car drives for 15 minutes, the water in the radiator boils over, and then it takes...
There goes old Faithful!
Stop the car, Roger. Well, I guess we'll just have to sit here for a few minutes until it cools off. That's about all.
Say, Emily, isn't that Jack Benny over there?
Where?
Over there in that Stanley steamer.
That isn't a Stanley steamer. It's a Maxwell that blew its top.
Then it is my dream man. Steady, girl. Steady.
You really have a crush on him, haven't you?
Yes. And you know, Emily, I've got a confession to make. Last February, I sent Mr. Benny a Valentine card.
Did he get it?
He must have. I put it in my laundry bundle.
Oh, does he do your laundry?
Yes. When I think of him ironing my petticoats with his own little hands, I break out in goose pimples.
How romantic. What did you say on your Valentine card?
It was a beautiful poem. I wrote it myself. It went, "Dear Jack, when I think of you this Valentine's Day, I can throw my vitamin pills away."
Well, I'll bet he didn't answer it.
He did, too. He said, "Your lovely poem made me shake and shiver, and starting May 1st, we pick up and deliver."
Martha, open your eyes. I think they're going to drive off.
Rochester, the car should be cool enough now. Let's go.
Jack, the street we're coming to is Figueroa. That's Automobile Row.
Yeah. Turn right here, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Gosh, look at all the automobile dealers on this street. Honest John, the Smiling Irishman, Madman Munts, Psychiatric Sam, Wild Man Pritchard. Ah, here's the place we want. Just Plain Bill. Stop in front of this place, Rochester. Now, Rod, you can park down the street a little ways and wait for us. Come on, Mary.
Okay. Gosh, Jack, they certainly have some beautiful cars on display here.
Yes, I hope this doesn't take too long. I wouldn't want Rochester to get a ticket. He can't afford it. Besides, I have to...
Oh, here comes the salesman.
Where? Oh, yes. Oh, mister.
How do you do?
How do you do? I'm thinking of buying a new car.
Oh, good, good. Were you thinking of any particular type?
Well...
Would you like a hydromatic?
A hydromatic?
Yes, that car comes without a clutch.
Look, brother, when I pay for a new car, I want a clutch and everything. Say, this car here looks pretty good.
Yes, Jack, it's really a sporty-looking number.
Get inside and see how roomy it is.
Okay. It sure is comfortable. And say, what are these buttons?
Oh yes, those are for the windows. I'll show you how they work.
Gee. What other new features do they have?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. This is the only car in the market that comes equipped with a Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbovasculator, which is synchromeshed with a multi-coil hydrotension duo-vacuum dynamometer.
Gosh! What does that do for the car?
It empties the ashtray.
Well, that's quite a feature. Mary, do you think I ought to get this car?
Well, certainly. I wouldn't think of having a car that's not equipped with the Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbovascular, which is synchromesh with the multi-coil hydrotension dual vac and dynamometer. Dynamometer.
Mary, you've mispronounced the word whip. Gee, the more I see of this car, the more I like it. But tell me, Mr.
Call me Plain Bill.
Plain Bill. What are all these other buttons for?
Well, they're for the heater, the radio, the lights, and the top.
Uh-huh. But what's this red button for?
Oh, that red button is for emergencies.
Emergency?
Yes, like if you stall the car on the railroad tracks and the train is coming at 100 miles an hour, you press the red button.
And that gets the car off the tracks?
No, it makes a reservation for you at Forest Lawn.
Prettiest convertibles I've ever seen. Why don't you take it?
I think I will, Mary. Tell me, Plain Bill, what's the price of this car?
$4,200.
Say, mister, do the windshield wipers on this car squirt water when you press the button?
Yes.
Well, squirt some on him. He fainted.
I didn't faint, Mary. Just that $4,200 is a lot of money.
But don't forget, we do make liberal allowances on trade-in.
Well, my car's right outside. Suppose you come along with us and appraise it.
Yes, well, I'd be very glad to.
Right this way.
Now, which one of these cars is yours?
Oh, it's parked down the street a little ways. There it is right there.
You mean that blue Kaiser?
No, it's behind the Kaiser.
Oh, the gray DeSoto.
No, my car is between the Kaiser and the DeSoto. Here it is. Well, I'll admit it doesn't look like much right now, but a little paint and polish and she'll be as good as new.
What did you get, boss? A convertible or a sedan?
Nothing yet. This gentleman is going to appraise ours.
Tell me, has this car been in an accident?
No.
Well, then how come it bulges so much in the rear?
Middle-aged spread.
Don't be silly. That's the way this car was built. And it has a lot of advantages that the new cars haven't got.
Yeah, if you like tea, it boils water every 15 minutes.
Oh, stop. This man is a good judge of cars. Now, Plain Bill, get in and I'll show you how it runs. Come on, Mary. Start the car, Rochester.
Yes.
The motor needs a little... Plain Bill, where are you going?
To get a whip and a chair. This thing is dangerous.
No, it'll be all right. Try it again, Rochester. See? I told you it'd be okay.
Do you want me to drive around the block, boss?
Just a second. If I am going to appraise this car, I had better drive.
No, I'll drive. You shovel the coal.
You better let him drive, Bill. He's more used to it.
Well, it's irregular, but okay.
See, I told you, it rides very smoothly, doesn't it?
Not bad.
Now, how much of a trade-in do you think you can give me on it?
Well, now, let me see. A little rubber on the tires. The body needs a paint job. The upholstery isn't too bad. The motor runs. Look, would the deal include the car's radio?
Yes. Now, how much will you allow me on the car, including the radio?
$3.
$3?
Better grab it fast, Jack. The ride made him dizzy.
I will not. I wouldn't think of trading in this car for $3. It's perfect mechanically. They don't make cars like this today. Everything built to last for years and gives you excellent service. And all the way...
Oh, plain Bill.
Yes?
Lemon or cream?
Lemon in mine, Mary. Mary. Now, Bill, all kidding aside, how much will you allow me on my car?
$3.
But this car...
There is no use arguing. This thing is without a doubt the oldest, worst, most beat-up piece of junk I have ever seen.
What? That settles it. Rochester, stop the car. Plain Bill, I'll thank you to get out. Rochester, open the door.
That won't be necessary. It fell off.
Well, goodbye to you, sir.
Goodbye.
Rochester, drive on.
Yes, sir.
Car's good enough. I can keep it for quite a while yet.
You know, boss, you're not going to get a new car. Why don't you have this one fixed up? Put some of those modern things on it.
Like what?
Like the Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbo Vasculator, which is synchromesh with the multi-coil hydrotension dual vacuum dynamometer.
No, then I'd have to go out and buy an ashtray. Step on it, Rochester. I want to go home.
Jack, we'll be back in just a moment, but first...
Feeling low,
feeling tense.
These eight words are common sense.
Mocha Lucky,
severe level best.
Mocha Lucky,
severe level best.
Yes, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, puts you on the right level to feel and do your level best. It's important to know that fine tobacco can do this for you. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. It's not surprising that more independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen, smoke Lucky Strike regularly than the next two leading brands combined. So when you choose your cigarette, remember, Lucky's fine tobacco picks you up when you're low, calms you down when you're tense, put you on the right level, the lucky level, where you feel your best and do your best. Yes, the next time you buy cigarettes, ask for a carton of Lucky Strike.
Mocha Lucky,
to be your level best.
Mocha Lucky,
to be your level best.
Jack. Going to stop off at any other car dealers?
No, Mary. I've made up my mind. I'm going home. This car will just have to do until I...
Jack, what happened? Your hair is gone.
It's my fault, Miss Livingston. I never should have driven by a match factor.
All right. Let him keep it.
There's our theme, The Doll Dance. Today on Old Radio Theater, you heard the Burns and Allen Show from November of 1945 and the Jack Benny program from April of 1949. And on that program, there were some pretty famous voices. Gloria Morgan and Jane Morgan were the two little old ladies. Gloria Morgan was the landlady, Mrs. O'Reilly, on My Friend Irma. And Jane Morgan was, again, the landlady on Our Miss Brooks. But also, in case you didn't recognize the voice, the car salesman on the Jack Benny program was Jim Backus. And he was a very close personal friend of Mr. Benny. It was interesting, too, because they talked about convertibles, which have been out of the picture for quite some time, but seem to be coming back right now. Our earlier December program, when we did the program in the studio at KPFA and took telephone calls, someone said something about doing mystery programs. Well, of course, we do it all the time. We haven't been doing it lately. But they will be coming along. And also, there will be a change in the marathon policy at KPFA. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get along to it. This is Bud Carey. It's Old Radio Theater. I'm delighted that you have joined us again in another brand new year, and hope you'll do it again. Thanks for listening.